I want to be found when he calls me playing his praises. I want to be found when he calls me with a heart that is pure and a heart that is holy and a heart that is after him. Get past the sign on the door and get past the nomination and get past your doctrines and get in where you can be found in the presence of the Lord. He's coming after a bride that's looking for him. He's coming after a church that wants to go. Hallelujah. We often act like that we don't even know the God that we believe, and sometimes we don't act like that we've got anywhere good to go. When I've got plans to do something good, as the days get closer to it, I begin to be excited about what I'm longing to go to. And there's a heaven one day, church. Though we feel pain, though we suffer, I'm excited about where I'm going to go when this walk of life is over. And in the wickedness that we're in today, we don't have to worry about it being too long before God will call us. Let us be found seeking him. Let us be found as the pure bride. I've got too many storms around me not to do this. We've got too much on our plate not to be up, not to be active, going after what the enemy is trying to do. We've got too much that God has done for us to not step out in faith. He has been too good to us and been faithful to us for us not to be faithful unto him. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time that we be faithful even in hard times. So that when God wants to bless us, we'll be found ready to receive it. He's looking for a willing vessel that believes in what they say. I told them this at singing practice. I refuse to let go. I refuse to let go. No matter how far they stray, no matter how hard things get in the service, I refuse to let go. He's been so faithful to me. Can I not offer up something to him that he can receive from me? It's his anyway. What you're giving him ain't something you're coming up with. That praise is his anyway. You could just let it loose. It's not of you. It's got through you. You might as well let it go. You might as well tell him thank you. You might as well give him the honor. When my employer comes looking for me, unless I put an out of office reminder in my email, they're going to expect me in my seat doing my part, my contribution. There are some people that make way more than me where I work and do things that are of greater power and responsibility, but I'm still expected to give 100% in what I know that I am called to do. And that's the way that God looks at all of us tonight. There might be different gifts, there might be different callings, but the expectation of you to come by faith is the same for all of us. Where will you be when God speaks to you? Where will you be found when he begins to minister to your heart? Will you receive his word? Will you turn from your wicked ways? Will you come to a place where you can be calm and at peace? And I'm going to ask you, and you give me your honest answer. Are you blessed tonight? Are you blessed tonight? Hallelujah. I know that I am. I told Brother Matt earlier today, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, man, it feels good to be in his presence. Let's read at the 22nd verse in the 15th chapter of Exodus. Read along with me if you would like. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" We begin in this passage with a company of singing, joyous former slaves. They had been in captivity, and they had longed to be free. And God sent them a way out of Egypt. They came through. Their enemies were buried in the Red Sea. When you see your enemy get defeated, it'll cause you to sing even if you're not a singer. And it'll cause you to shout even if you never shout. When you finally get clarity on things, you walk in a newfound joy. That's talking about being on the mountain. So you find them coming out of the Red Sea on top of the world, and they go for 3 days forward in their zeal. But as they're going along, the water that they had filled up in Egypt had begun to run out. They were 3 days past the source of water that delivered them. And they came upon a place where they saw a body of water, but it was bitter. They could not drink of it. For if you know, if you try to drink stale water or water that's had a lot of death in it, it'll make you sick and it won't sustain you. So they came to a place where the grumblings began to start from here and there, as rumors do. The grumblings and complainings began to get a little bit louder. And they began to go to their leader, and some of them probably said my so-called leader. They went to Moses. Poor guy had to ask God to just have the ability to communicate. He said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. I can't talk the way that others do. And they began to confront him and said, what are we going to drink? What are we going to drink that will satisfy us? Here lately, we've tried to cover in the Word of God. We preached on who's in the bottom of your boat, talking about realizing who you have inside of you. We begin to open it up in a different way and preach about living to overcome. Taking the faith that Jesus was asking about then and learning to overcome by faith. Tonight I'm going to bring that out a little bit deeper than where we had it before. Why? Because the Lord has showed me that there are greater battles ahead of us that we're not able to conquer on our own. And no matter how high on the mountain we get, when we arrive to that wilderness, the zeal that we had on the mountain will have diminished. That's because the blessings we get when we get victory are only temporary for the purpose of that storm, that trial. So that which I went through a month ago gave me strength, but I'm here today and I need help. They didn't have the benefit of the Holy Ghost. So all they were in were their own thoughts. And they realized that they were in a bad situation. You can go a whole lot longer without food than you can with water. You can only last so long without water. Over 70% of the human body, it's hard to imagine this, over 70% of this body, touch yourself, pinch yourself, is water. So there's more of you that is liquid than there is that's solid. That's amazing to me. That's what I try to tell people when they see. I just say, I've got a little extra water weight on me. And I try to work out, but there's still a little water weight that tries to come back and hang out with me. And I'm just saying, Lord, obviously you're supplying a need I don't know about. We preached last week on bitter and sweet waters cannot dwell in the same fountain. That we can't speak words of faith one day and words of worry another. God wants to bring us instability by what he brings us through, and by the salvation that we have in our life. So they come into this situation where they murmured and they pushed him against the wall with their accusations. And they've asked him, what are we going to do now? And how many of us have been here? We've been through so much. But then we come to something that's beyond our grasp and our own power. And we almost want to look back and say to God, why would you lead me here? Knowing that it was going to be hard. Why would you let me get to this place where it's difficult for me to live? There has not been one service since I've been saved that I enjoyed that I didn't fight for to enjoy. It is something you've got to actively pursue. Faith is not something that comes forth unwillingly. Faith comes by choice. You choose to be faithful. There's plenty of people having affairs. They don't choose to be faithful to their companion. We have to make a choice that I'm dedicating myself to what I have committed myself to. Why would you go to church for 20 years of your life and still be moved in your faith? Think about what it is that causes you to lose your faithfulness. And chances are, when we look at those things, we'll find Satan all over it. For God would not put more on us than we can bear, because he wants us to learn. There was a reason
that they weren't supposed to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. God wanted the pleasure of teaching them. But by their choices to be unfaithful to the commitment, God said, I'll take care of you. I'll supply you a garden, unending. I'll give you everything you need. Adam, I'll even hook you up. You don't even have to go on Match.com or Christian Mingle to find your mate. I'm going to give you a helpmate out of you. All you've got to follow is one simple guideline. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. But here we find Satan written all over, tempting them out of the commitment. And that's where we get, when we get complacent, we lose our commitments. We lose our faithfulness. And ultimately, when you're not faithful, you're not showing that you love what you are committed to. I wish I could say that I was the ideal model husband. But honey, don't put me in a display case. Because there's plenty of parts of me that I could do better in. Now, I'm faithful and I'm committed. But there's times that I could show more love than I do. Amen. Notice the men didn't back me up on that one. Nobody wants to go down this pit with me. That's all right. I'll fall on my own sword on your behalf. We could show more love. So just because we're faithful and we do everything that we're asked to do, doesn't mean that we are exempt from showing a greater love. Just because we come in and put on the right attire and sit down in the pew and get here and tithe in the offering plate, does not mean that we're showing a true love. And when we're not walking in love, here we go, we're getting there, then we're welcoming the torments of the enemy. A substance that corrupts what was once pure to be something that is not able to consume, that would satisfy your living and your purpose. So here the waters are. Meribah, they named it that because they were bitter. Moses had came to the end of the road. And as many things that God had showed him, he came to something he didn't know. Who is with me right now? We come to this place where we've prayed all that we can pray, and we don't know. We're doing everything we know is right. They were walking according to the path, but yet looked at what they didn't have that caused them to grow complacent. So let's read on. Let me read these other scriptures to you. You stay in Exodus 15. I'm going to read James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, you better get a hold of this. There is confusion and every evil work. When we live in this bitterness, the result of drinking from that fountain is confusion. Confusion leads to multiple anxieties. There's a lot of us that battle anxiety in here. Multiple anxieties, thoughts that are not thoughts, false accusations that rise within you. You think somebody's against you. You think they don't want you there at church. You think that nobody likes you. All these things begin to brew in your spirit. It's evil. It has Satan wrote all over it. It has his fingerprint, if you will, upon your situation. But God would not have you come this far right here tonight with this congregation without giving you a word that will educate you on how to take the bitterness and cause it to be clean. We're going to read where that goes. I'm excited. I'm trying to contain myself, but it's hard. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make the path straight for your feet, lest that is which is lame to be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up will trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Break it down for me, brother. I'm going to. When we have bitter waters in us, we're defiling other people around us. Our witness is corrupted. The trust that people have in you to produce something that will help them is gone. People that used to come to church don't come anymore. You want to know why? Because they don't think you're any better than them. Because they catch you in a situation where you talk bad about somebody. They catch you in something where you should sow the sweet waters, but instead you're drinking of the bitter ones, and they have no confidence in you. They have no confidence in the church anymore because they don't see anybody be faithful. You put a lost person and you put a saved person through a situation, chances are you'll find the Christian at the bar before you'll find the lost person. You put a lost person and a Christian in a situation that troubles their marriage, you see who doesn't run first. Satan comes to devour those who believe. That's why. He's attacking the Lord's anointed. So every time you're trying to grow up, that enemy's coming to try to push you down. And it would be very easy to draw from that water. But I'm reminded of a woman that came into the presence of Christ. And he said, drink from this water, that she would never thirst again. She was looking at the natural water and said, well, I drink this every day. What's the difference? But it's the water through Christ that sustains us. It's through Christ that we're able to overcome. It's through what he did for us at Calvary that causes us to change the bitter waters and changed it into a sweet situation. My greatest peace was not felt on the mountain. I say this all the time, but we've got to realize this. The greatest peace I've ever felt in God before is when I was in the worst, lowest, most wretched place. The greatest peace I ever felt was when I got saved. Knowing that I didn't have to go to hell anymore. Knowing that all my sins could be forgiven. Knowing that all my past and what I was and what I stood for and all that I did wrong could finally be behind me. What an amazing thing to have. What a wonderful peace to feel. When the devil takes everything else from you, you still have Jesus Christ. When everything else is going wrong in the church, you still have Jesus Christ. When you can't find satisfaction in recreation or in your own pleasure, you can still find joy in Jesus Christ. I've been bored with life before, and I've worked so much lately that I have not done a single thing for me time in so long that I began to think to myself, well, am I even anybody? I'm not getting to do anything. I'm just working, and I'm going, and I'm doing, and I'm exhausted. But you know what I still have? Somebody talk to me tonight. You know what I still have inside of me when everything else and all the pressure's on me and I'm back against the wall and all the people around me are saying, what are we going to drink, brother? What are we going to do? I look down where God found me and I'm reminded that I'm at peace because what I was does not define me. But he through me lets me do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can overcome every valley through Christ, which strengthens me. I can overcome every sickness through Christ, which strengthens me. Every fear, everything under my feet.